Today is we're going to be talking about Self-Publishing Explains. My name is Henrik de Gior. I'm a consultant, writer, podcaster, and startup advisor. So quick poll, how many of you are self-published? Oh, great. Okay. How many of you have used a regular established publisher? Okay, excellent. And how many of you are interested in self-publishing? Some of you? Okay, great. Okay. So next question here. So here's a little bit about me. Done about 6 books, all self-published. So what is publishing? Well, let's just start with the basics. So that's the dissemination of literature, music, or information, the activity of making information available to the general public. In some cases, authors may be their own publishers. So what is self-publishing? So basically, it's the publication of any book or media by its author without the involvement of a self, of an established publisher, right? So there are 3 kinds of self-publishing. There's what we know as e-books, right? There's print on demand, where you the purchaser requests a copy and they print it upon request. And then there's vanity publishing, which is usually a small run, often for memoirs or things like that, or vanity for the sake of argument. Let's talk about word counts briefly. So depending on the word counts, so as we know, there's about 500 pages on a printed page, single-spaced. There are 10,000 words is considered a pamphlet. 20,000 is a short book. 40 to 50,000 is a good-sized book. 60 to 70,000 is a longer book. These are not obviously very technical terms here. And then much longer, 80 to 100,000 is a typical novel size. And by the way, all these slides will be available afterwards, so don't feel the need to write all this stuff down. So why self-publish is the general question of why we're here. So the question and answer I want to pose to you guys is, what do publishers do today? Right? Any answers to this? So do they actually just publish all your work? Do they help you get published? Do they help you get into bookstores? Right? That's partially the goal, right? Sometimes, depending on what your goals are for the book itself, right? If you're the author, and we're talking as authors to authors, right, for the most part here. And of course, since we're authors, we're also consumers. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you come closer to the door? Maybe you can hear better. Sure? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. Okay. All right. So where have all the bookstores gone is the general question, right? So there's less and less bookstores, especially the large chains, as we all know. We all are familiar with large chains that have disappeared and vaporized, and unfortunately will continue to vaporize as the trend goes, because we know who is consuming and where all people are buying, right? People are buying more and more online. They tend to browse online. It's much quicker. It's much easier. It's more available. You can see every title known to mankind that's available to be purchased online. Now, the next question is, what formats actually sell, right? So there's obviously printed books, which we're all familiar with, whether they're hardback or paperback, right? But then there's other formats that we're going to be talking about, too, that are very much in play today, including ebooks, but more than that. And then the next question is, what do authors really want? Well, that's a personal goal to one degree or another. Some people will say money. Some people want to say fame. Some people want to say I have people to read my story, my book, to read this message that I'm presenting out there, whatever that happens to be. There's people write books and content for different reasons. Fair? All right. So one thing I want to share with you is the market share for ebooks. So this is about a year old. But this is the trend from the last 3 years, from February 2014 on the left to February 2017 on the right. And you'll see the purple line, which is very top, is downward trends. And that represents the big 5 publishing firms, which are on a downward spiral. Big shocker to some. And the blue line is on the rise. And that happens to represent indie publishing. Specifically, self-publishing for the most part. So how is the money split, right? So once a book sells, where does the money go? Well, with a publisher, and this is by Guy Kawasaki's, some of these terms from his book, Ape, Author, Publisher, Entrepreneur, which is referenced in this slide deck as well. The split is 45% to a retailer. Granted, this varies based on your contract, etc. 10% to a wholesaler. 10% to a publisher for printing, which is sometimes and often subcontracted because the publisher doesn't actually own the printing press. 7% for marketing, also subcontracted outwards, not by the publisher itself. 13% for pre-publishing or pre-production, sometimes also subcontracted out. Again, what is the publisher doing for you? And then the rest, and that very number varies, of sometimes 15%, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on how famous you are, is the royalties of what you get from each sale. Now, on the other side, without a publisher, you can get between 35 and 70% royalties. Granted, some of that will go into the other things up there, depending on whether you're doing print sales and other things like that. Questions? Yes, it does sound good, doesn't it? In comparison? All right, so how to self-publish? Well, some of this may be obvious. If you've ever written a book, you outline or mind map, you write your book, that's kind of important. You have it edited and copy edited. You have your cover design and layout done. You have it formatted for the different publication. You have it posted somewhere, usually in an online format nowadays. You market it, either before or after you publish, you post it, and then some. Obviously, you sell it, a whole bunch, hopefully. And then you repeat, because you can do this cycle over and over again. Obviously, there's some more steps in there, depending on how far you want to go into this. I could make, you know, an entire 45-minute presentation on how to write a book, but that's not where we're here, right? So who's had success with self-publishing? Right. So we raised our hands to one degree or another as far as who's published books ourselves, right? Some of the late stories that we're familiar with, these are all self-published works at one point or another, along with this person and that person and this person. And some of these you may recognize. Some of them you may not. Some of these are nonfiction authors. And obviously, some are very much fiction. So where are the sales coming from? Now, this is a big shocker that I updated this presentation that I gave last year, literally last week. And this is as of January 2018. Now, you'll notice that on the left, the big green or blue, whatever color that's presenting, on the left, that's ebooks sold by format. And you'll notice that's the majority. That is a big shift that's happened literally last year, that there are more ebooks sold than printed books. The tides have shifted, right? It used to be print. It used to be 60%+ literally last year and 2016 and before. Now, as far as dollars earned per format, printed books are still sold for more money, right? It costs more per printed book. And more dollars are earned as far as gross is concerned. So if you look on the right, you'll see that more money is coming in from printed books, but ebooks is still bringing in a fair amount. Now, the next question is, how much is that really? So literally from that same source, I encourage you to go to authorearnings.com every so often to check that out. That's the source of this chart, as well as this chart, which is in the billions by... So on the left, you have $1.3 billion in sales as of April 2017 to end of last year for ebook sales. $500 million roughly for audiobook sales, same period of time, and online print sales of $3.1 billion earned. Okay, so that's roughly, you do the math, roughly about. $5 billion, not bad, right? So obviously, the greedy part of us wants a piece of that, right? But there's more to that than just, you know, burning money, right? That's not the only reason that we write books. So the common, if you're using Kindle, for example, this is a common daily chart. So every one of those data points is a day in sales. And this is what commonly what it looks like to sell a book on a daily basis. And you're going to have ebbs and flows, right? No pun intended. But it's going to vary. So again, from Guy Kawasaki's book, APE, top 10 mistakes people do, specifically writers do when they're self-publishing. Writing for the wrong reason. So writing for fame, becoming a billionaire. Only one author's ever done that. her name is J.K. Rowling. not hiring a professional copywriter or copy editor. That's really important. And you'll learn that the hard way if you don't. Designing your own cover, not a good idea. You want a professional designer. Not building your own marketing platform in advance, to making sure that you can market your book, not just after you sell and like, oh, okay, well, it's out there, so everyone will buy it, right? It doesn't really work that way. You and 100,000 other people just released their book. So what is going to make yours stand out for your specific audience, right? Using a word processor other than Microsoft Word. I kind of break that rule, but and probably some of you others as well. You may use some other tools like Scrivener and other tools. I happen to use Google Drive. Inadequately testing your ebook, making sure that it actually works on the platforms that it's supposed to, because there's three types of ebook formats, and they're all completely different, and they have to be formatted differently. Selling only an ebook version. Well, it depends on who your audience is. So for myself, I literally follow that rule because I have no value in printing something that's going to be outdated in 6 months. That's just me. And I'm printing nonfiction and writing about technology that's going to be outdated very soon. Depending solely on social media and word of mouth. Well, that's not enough because not everyone in this room is on social media, for the sake of argument. Fair? Now, you may pay attention to word of mouth, but how far does that go? Fair? Right? Not tapping into the crowd. Now, your crowd is your audience and the people you know, family, friends, beyond that, right? Your network. And only having one plan. Meaning, when plan A fails, you have a plan B and C of how you're going to market it and how are you going to push it out. And what's are you going to have an anthology? Are you going to have a sequel, right? Questions so far? Nope. So why is it easier to self-publish nowadays? Well, speed to market. You can publish as fast as you can write, edit, and release. So for myself, it's 6 months. That's how long it takes to release a book. And I can write two at a time, so I have some change in pace. Corrections. You can fix or update something within 24 hours of publishing, especially for ebooks or even audiobooks. So if there's a big oops in there, you can remove that oops. You can't do that necessarily with printing, but with print on demand, you've released that oops to a handful of people or however many people you sold that to, but you don't print 10,000 of oops, right? You print the number and then, oops, I didn't catch that error, but thanks for catching that, so I'm going to correct it going forward. Frequency, you can write more often and publish more often. Immediacy, publish more often and get paid more often, because publishers are really bad at publishing the numbers that are actually sold and paying you on time, whatever on time means to them. And then freedom, you can write and publish from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world, literally. So don't think you have to publish solely to Hilton Head or to South Carolina or even Beaufort County. Or even the United States. You can literally publish to just about every country in the world. And you can very, very easily. And you can publish to about 45 different countries that understand English as one of their first languages. And then you can have it translated as necessary. So I'll give you two glimpses of two self-publishing projects that I did recently, last few years. One was a crowdfunded and crowdsourced project. So I had a project where, I'll give you the timeline, I had a blog where I just write blog posts back in January 2009 where I started writing. And then I had a podcast called the same thing back in May 2010. And I accumulated about 100 podcast episodes, audio form, audio interviews of people that are of interest in a very niche industry. And I decided, well, I'm not going to print something and unless I know there's an audience. So why don't I figure out who my audience is and have them vote with their dollars? Instead of saying, hey, are you interested? I'm going to say, well, I'll do a Kickstarter to say, if you're interested in this book, pay me in advance and I'll make it for you. So for $20, I'll get you an ebook by August, let's say. And so I did the funding period between April and May, raised the number of dollars that I needed to publish the book, and even a printed book and an ebook. And a few months later, I was able to release a 500-page book and an ebook. So I was able to figure out how big my audience is and only print the number of books I needed up front before doing that. Now, another number of people have already done that and raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, who are much more famous than myself, like Eric Ries, who's written the several startup books. I encourage you to take a look at that. So I'll just show you the quick tracking funding. So this is what the tracking of the funding action. I raised literally $3,000. That's not a huge amount in comparison to the $500,000 that Eric Ries raised to write two books. And mind you, he was prepaid to write two books. So I raised $3,000 in about a month and tracked where all the dollars were coming from. And it showed like exactly like how much and how many pledges and all that. So it's not a huge project by any means. And then selected the rewards. So for $20, they would get an ebook prepaid. For $100, they would get a little bit more. For $300, they would get a printed book and an ebook. And there were takers for that. Interestingly enough, the middle grounds, the $200 reward, nobody took that. But they took the highest award. That's not uncommon for Kickstarter projects. So as far as internal versus external pledging, Kickstarter itself didn't get me much money, about $200, but the rest of it came from my efforts in marketing it. So it was really based on the network that I already had existing. So if you have an audience, an existing audience, that's interested in what you do, you could do that as well. So another project I want to show you is how I wrap up an ebook in about 6 months, what it really looks like. So another timeline. May to June of 2 years ago now, I wrote most of a book on crowdfunding. Mind you, I learned from my lessons, so I wrote a book about it. And then my book wasn't big enough, so I interviewed people who raised tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of dollars several times. So it made it a little bit more encouraging and more interesting than just me, and me, which no one really is really interested in. I transcribed those interviews, edited those interviews into the book, edited it, designed a cover for it. Not me, but I had it done, had it formatted, and published it, and then marketed it. So these are the books that I've released in the last, let's just say, 2-3 years. The second one is the book that we were just talking about. And these are my recent books. So here's a few books about self-publishing, if you're interested. Some of you may recognize some of them. So we talked about the Ape one a few times. Joanna Penn, I highly recommend as well. It's really good. There's some online resources, which you'll be able to digest in this slide deck. And these are all links that you'll be able to click on to digest this at your own pace, not at my northern speaking speed. Questions?
You like that word, damn, don't you?
Yes.
Thanks. Come on, Bill.
The advantages of self-publishing over publishing.
What was the question? Say it again.
Advantages of self-publishing versus publishing.
What are the advantages of self-publishing?
Advantages of self-publishing over publishing? Yeah. Uh-huh. So I'll just go back to that one. So the speed of publishing, here we go, by publish. Sorry, not this one.
You self-publish all your stuff, right?
Yes. Yep. So I was approached by a publisher to write something, and then I looked at their contract, and it said, well, we keep all the rights to your e-books. And I was like, why? All my audience is digital. Why would they... Why would I care? And they're like, well, that's non-negotiable. And I was like, well, then keep the contract. And then I was reapproached about technically editing the same book that a friend of mine decided to write themselves. So as far as here's your advantages right here. Let's see if I can... There we go. So it's speed to market. Corrections are faster, your frequency, immediacy, and freedom is. Does that answer your question, or is there more pointed?
You said more income, much more income.
Oh, yeah, that's another minor detail, right? Yeah, you have much higher royalties because the platforms allow you to do more and choose your own providers of editing for the sake of argument, of printing as well. So, one thing I did want to share. Sorry, yes, go ahead.
If you were to compare self-publishing with using a publisher, mm-hmm. does it take more work to self-publish?
I would say probably yes, mm-hmm. Only because you're not handing it off to someone and then they're not subcontracting it out because you're finding your own subcontractors.
Right.
So there's a few options in this list, in the link list that I gave you here. List of self-publishers. I'll just open that real quick. I gave you the entire list of every single self-publishing company available pretty much in the United States and then some. So I've used Lulu before. They're okay for printing, just printing. Yes? You have a question?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I regularly use Kindle Direct Publishing. I've heard people having okay results as far as printing and create a space across multiple channels aside from just Amazon. Granted, Amazon is about 90% of the ebook market. Yes?
I wanted you to go back.
Sure.
To that question. You, earlier on when you started, you mm-hmm. talked about the advantages of publishing, or, using a publisher versus self-publishing. Mm-hmm. You started to talk about what a publisher does for you.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And
sure.
I don't think you ever answered that question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not answer?
Okay. Because I think that'll get to help answer that other question.
You mean beyond the fiscal? Or
yeah, was one of the first slides you had.
Okay. Yeah. So.
But you never answered that question.
Oh,
you
I'm sorry.
You threw the question out to us.
Sure, sure.
But you never really...
I get it. Yeah.
So you went back to another slide. It was the one about what a publisher does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
This one here?
That's right. The one you never answered that question.
So they do very little by today's standard.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do not do much because they outsource almost all of it. It sounds like they do all of it because they'll talk on the same lines that they have and it's like, oh yeah, talk to Bill or Habib or wherever, whoever they are.
What about like marketing? How much marketing will they give you, or how much are you doing yourself?
Very little. They do very, very little marketing for you. They will happily find a marketer for you and at your cost. They will do very little PR for you. They will do very little, pretty much anything for you. They will happily take money from you, right? And happily take part of your royalties, right? And going back to, not this part, so we talked about formats as far as audiobooks, ebooks, and printed books on demand. The splits, right? So let's just revisit this here, right? So the retailer, and you don't have to go through a retailer necessarily if you don't care about being in bookstores, right? Because there's so many of them. Sorry. I'm kidding. there's the printing. You can find your own printer, right? And you can shoot. You can look at the reviews for a lot of the companies that I just showed you a minute ago, because some of them have bad reviews or inconsistent reviews. So one thing that I heard from a recent self-publishing from the Bluffton Book Festival was CreateSpace. Oh, every time I do a book run for my, I get different colors on my cover, which, you know, not so good, right? If you want consistency, would be helpful, right? Yes, you had a question.
Yeah, I want to interject it at the right point. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Let's go.
Well, sure. That's
maybe
okay.
It is.
No worries. Yeah.
And I don't want to go to my somewhat interesting, somewhat happy, somewhat unhappy experience with really what's kind of a hybrid. Are you familiar with that concept?
Which one do you mean?
They're called hybrid publishing. And,
okay.
And I actually had an agent,
mm-hmm.
and we went with the big people, and they logically said, no way, go away, we don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did find a New York publisher that claimed to have pretty good quality control and editorial board, the kind of things that you want to hear from a big publisher.
Yep.
And was very reasonable, for example, to do what we wanted to do, to go to CreateSpace or Author House.
Yep.
We're 14, you know, packages, 16, 17,000 bucks.
Sure.
And ours basically was about a 50-50 split. We put some money in there, going to help us with some marketing, did all the cover work. Not a bad product.
Fair.
Physically.
Okay.
We don't get quite a 15% royalty. But it seems that there's that middle ground. And I don't know whether I endorse it. They were frustrating at times. The biggest thing, and it gets to question two, we were extremely pleased that they got us on all the distribution networks, particularly Ingram.
Yep.
And Kobo.
Yep.
And Amazon. And
yep.
When they went out on the ebooks, we really were focusing on the hard cover. They said, we'll do hardcover, we'll do soft cover, and ebooks. You reference this, and this is a huge cautionary tale for anyone. When we saw our book and friends would start buying it on Kindle, have all sorts of problems. I think I talked about it.
Formatting issues?
Formatting.
Yep.
And it has taken us months to get them done. And publisher blamed Amazon. So you raise that. That's a huge issue.
It is.
And I think I noted that particularly for you poets who often depend on visuals.
Totally.
The lesson that I had, we have one story in our collection, that the whole story hinges on two or three pages in a story, in prose, with some creative slanting. And the first time we saw it come out on Kindle, instead of slanting across the page, it was just letters coming down straight on the left hand. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
And particularly when we make three times as much royalty. So we were in an awkward position and really pissed off at our publisher. We're telling our people who want it, don't buy it. Go buy it on hard copy.
Sure.
Anyway, so I think there's some, and I guess my hybrid guy, I am indebted that he's gotten me into the distribution channels. We've got a great contract with the subsidiary rights that they've reverted back to us, which you got to be careful on
So
I would say that that I think I could have found a better hybrid. I won't tell you mine, but there is something that seems to be in that middle.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Some cost out, and you know they but no one gives us any marketing help.
Yeah, it's very rare.
That's just incredible to me.
It's very rare. Yeah.
I just that was my biggest disappointment.
Sure. I noticed that, sir. You've been waiting.
You got a book. You've self-published it.
Yep.
Now you want to get it to Amazon.
Yes.
What do you do?
So the easiest is you can market it directly on Amazon Kindle, Kindle Direct Publishing. You literally post it on there. You can print paperback if you care. If you want to go directly on there, and Mobi format. So they have a specific format just for Kindle. But again, it has to be formatted for Kindle specifically and formatted for paperback.
Say I have formatted the Kindle.
Yes.
What do I do? Write Amazon a letter, say, hey, I got this book. It's formatted for Kindle. Can you put it on your...
If you have it formatted today, you can post it on Kindle tonight, and it'll be live on Amazon tomorrow.
You go on. You go online to the Kindle site.
It's a website.
And you have to create an account, I'm sure. And then use... And if what you've done is an electronic format, like it's saved as a Word document or something like that, then you probably have to submit it. And it probably has to be converted. But it's already been made for Kindle. Then you probably can import it. My guess is, I've never done this, but my guess is that you can preview it before you
yes,
print it.
Absolutely.
And that's what he was talking about before. You want to look at it. You want to go page by page and make sure that
absolutely,
everything is appearing as you intended to appear before you say done.
Yes.
Okay. Where you had your hand up.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to the publisher thing. I have three examples. I sent a nonfiction book exactly to a publisher who looked marvelous,
mm-hmm,
exactly in my field. He sat on the entire manuscript for 2 years. Then, and all along, he said, it's really promising, the readers really like it, all this. I finally said, look, send it back. They came back in the original wrapping.
Wow.
Nobody ever read it, and it just sat somewhere. So that was a complete disaster.
Yep.
I published with another publisher, Harper & Row, hardback, and the contract killed me. Mm-hmm. If I ever have another thought in that area, they own it.
Mm-hmm.
So I promised myself I'm never thinking in that category. And then I have a whole series of books that were published, but I did it deliberately. I was a university professor.
Mm-hmm.
This publisher only deals with worldwide universities.
Ah, good.
So my entire set of books are in every, I mean, no matter where you look, mm-hmm, it's in that university.
Great.
And that's what I wanted to do, and I didn't make any money on it. Mm-hmm. But I got it out everywhere I wanted.
But you have a university press, yeah, I assume, or
no? It's actually not a. It's a Canadian
press. Oh, okay.
That its whole focus, mm-hmm, is just worldwide university libraries.
That's great.
And so, I mean, it kind of depends on what you want,
exactly,
what you're willing to eat and deal with.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So definitely, contracting is interesting. Yes, please.
Tell me more about audiobooks.
Audiobooks.
If I have a book of poetry,
yep,
and I want to do an audio,
sure,
of it with my own voice.
You
yes,
could.
You should.
You could, yeah, and you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does that work? Where do you go? Do you go to a recording studio?
Yeah, that's the recommended avenue. So it's expensive because you have to do book studio time, like in the equivalence environment as a radio station. You record your own voice. You do chapter by chapter. You know, take a break in between each, so you don't, you know, keel over after 22 hours or however many long hours you have to do read your readings. And you have it professionally audio edited, and then you release it as an anthology or as an audiobook on the major. Amazon again has one of the largest ones, which is called Audible.
Is there an audio book publisher specialist through which I can work who would help me guide me through
the process? That's a great question. So not that I personally know of. So I'm a podcaster by trade. But I do all my own audio, and then I send out the edits. But you could probably figure out how to publish it on Audible pretty easily. It's probably as simple as Kindle, where if you have the finished audio file, meaning every single chapter wrapped up, you can send it to Audible and they'll publish it for you. And then they'll take the split. I honestly don't know what the split is because I haven't looked at Audible per se. But you can get a fair royalty out of it depending on what you're charging for.
You can own your own rights on Audible.
That's great.
You can.
And do you know what the split is?
You can do a 50-50 split with a voice professional.
Oh, you
that
get
you
your own?
Choose.
Ah, okay.
And they have little samples of everybody on audible.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, what I did is I hired a voice actress and I paid her fee,
mm-hmm,
and I own the rights
100%. Nice.
I hate to ask, that sounds fairly expensive, though.
It is expensive. So there's definitely a commitment there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it like four or five figures?
Well, it depends on the length of the book. It depends
on
the word count. So, mm-hmm, I have short novels and longer novels, and she's done my entire series. It may range from $3,000 to $1,500, depending on the size of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, I have 10 books, so.
But it is a large percentage of that her. So if I were to do my own voice.
So it's completely her, but I edited it myself. So she read it, and then I went through the entire manuscript myself, mm-hmm, listening to her line by line, making sure she pronounced things correctly, didn't miss any words. You know, again, looking to make sure a page wasn't missing or a paragraph missing, mm-hmm, that, you know, and the sound quality. So she sits in a room in the same place, and it's very technical,
mm-hmm,
you know, what they do. her voice inflection. She's got to have that, you don't want it loud and then soft. I mean, it's actually an art.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Last question, because, go ahead.
From self-publishing to distribution, how do you get on the distribution list when you self-publish?
Sorry, help me understand, what do you mean by distribution list?
In other words, the major distributors. How do you get to the people who distribute to the bookstores?
Okay. So some of the channels like CreateSpace and a few other, and Ingram Spark actually have those distribution channels built in.
Which you can do with self-publishing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you want your book in Barnes & Noble for the sake of arguments as a printed book, you can go through those channels, for example.
Yeah. Go for it.
I've written a book. I've got the I need an editor. I need a formatter. I need an illustrator. Is there somebody who kind of leads you through all of that other than a publisher?
Yeah. So CreateSpace does some of that. Ingram Spark does some of that too. You can pay those people and find those people on there as one option, or you can find your own. So that there's, if you don't want to find your own and you want to use trusted resources from them, basically they're subcontractors, if you will, under those umbrellas.
Do you do that?
Do I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I find my own contractors.
No, I mean, can I hire you?
Oh. Yes, we can talk afterwards if you'd like. Yes. All
right. So on that note, let's thank Henry.
Thank you so much.